Our text this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 6. And today's lesson is sort of a companion lesson to the sermon on November 7th, which came from the same text. So you may recognize it if you were here with us that day in person or on Zoom. That lesson came in the series, Do Not Fear. And so the emphasis that day was on what Moses taught in this passage about fearing God, what it meant to fear God. But today the emphasis is on what Moses teaches in this passage about loving God. But before he mentions love, Moses calls Israel to obey God. Let's start in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, Deuteronomy, that name, comes from the Greek title for this book, which was originally written in Hebrew, but when it was translated into Greek, the Jews, Greek-speaking Jews, gave it the name Deuteronomy, which comes from the words for second and law. So it means second law, deutero and nomos for law. So second law. This is a second giving, a second telling of God's laws for Israel. So Israel, if you remember, has spent 40 years in the wilderness. They were called to go into the promised land 39 years earlier, and they refused because they were afraid of the huge people who lived there, strong cities, strong defenses. God promised he would give them success, but they were afraid, and so they didn't go. So they spent 40 years in the wilderness until the first generation of Israelites had passed away. And now God was ready to bring the second generation of Israelites into the promised land. So when God first spoke his Ten Commandments to Israel at Mount Sinai, that had been about 40 years earlier. And so Israel's adults at this time had either been very young when God had spoken from Mount Sinai, or they hadn't been born yet. And so Moses now, as the people are getting ready to go into the promised land, Moses recounts God's law for them. Soon they will cross the Jordan River, as Moses mentions here, to begin to take possession of the land that God promised to give to Abraham's descendants. And so Moses tells the people of Israel, "Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey all God's commands, decrees, and laws." Now, if they didn't know God, this instruction might sound oppressive, authoritarian. "Hear, Israel, and do what you're told. Hear, Israel, and look to God, this majestic being in the sky who says, if you want my help, then you must obey me." But the first thing Moses wants Israel to remember is that their God is a generous God. He wants you and your children and their children after them to enjoy long life in their new land. Verse 2. In verse 3, he reminds Israel that God wants everything to go well with them. And in verse 3, God wants them to increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as he has promised them. Our God is a generous God. And that puts a different spin on his call to obey his commands. You know, if you have an employer who you know appreciates you and who pays you well and treats you with respect, then that makes it really easy to obey their instructions and to do your very best work for them. And God has been very generous to Israel. In this chapter, Moses is going to stress two ways God shows his generosity to Israel. In the near future, he's going to bring Israel into the promised land, give them land and cities there, and drive out all their enemies, and they will see God's goodness to them. In the past, 40 years ago, to be precise, God rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt, defeating the mighty military of Egypt by his own divine power. And this makes sense to us Christians. We're very familiar with the concept of God's generosity. He gave us Jesus, his son, who died for us to make payment for all we've done wrong against God, to give us peace with God and the hope of eternal life with God. John 3:16, that famous passage of scripture, is all about God's generous love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Our God has been generous to us. And God graciously blesses us every day, even on the hard days. God gives us strength and courage. He gives us guidance and endurance. He gives us hope and peace. He gives us joy. Even on the hard days, he gives us joy. He gives us the community of his people and the presence of his spirit in our lives. Not to mention just the ways he sustains us every day with food to eat and clothes on our backs and a place to live and so on. And in all this, God gives us his deep, deep love. Our God is a generous God. Knowing that, knowing him, gives us a lot of incentive to obey him because we appreciate him so much. But then Moses takes that appreciation deeper. And so verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is a very famous passage of scripture. Verse 4 is called the Shema, which in Hebrew means hear, from the first word there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Which means Israel has only one God, not multiple gods like the other nations have. There's only one for Israel. And their God is unique. There is no one like him. He is different from all other gods. First of all, he's the only one who really exists. And then he's the one whose character is excellent, who is holy in everything he is and everything he does. Moses calls Israel not just to appreciate God and all his generosity, but to go deeper, to love the Lord your God. And not just a little, but to go all out in their love for him. Love the Lord your God with all your, you know it, I'll let you fill in the blanks. Love the Lord your God with all your, and with all your, and with all your, and I know some of you were cheating, but that's okay. That's okay. It's up here on the screen behind us. That's what it's there for. Love the Lord your God. Go all out in your love for him. Love him with everything you have and everything you are. Jesus will later say this is the most important commandment in God's entire law for Israel. Love God. Someone has said that the central and most vital command in the whole book of Deuteronomy is right here. Love God. And everything else in Deuteronomy is just details on why to do that and how to do that. And when Moses calls Israel to love the Lord your God, he urges them to live out their love by keeping God's commands close to them. Since you love God, keep his commands close to you. Let them be on your hearts, he says in verse 6. And impress them on your children, he says in verse 7. And talk about them all the time wherever you go. And post them as symbols on your hands and on your foreheads and on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Basically, take God's commands with you everywhere you go. And if God is merely an authoritarian deity out to exert his power over little human beings, then this instruction is oppressive and wearisome. But if God loves his people and is generous toward them, and if they love him in return, then this is easy. I mentioned in my lesson 2 weeks ago that I got my first job when I was 15 years old, bagging groceries in a store in the poor part of town, Bakersfield, California. When you have a job, it can be burdensome to have to obey all the boss's orders. Go stock the milk. Go check the price on this cereal. Go clean up the broken jar of pickles on aisle 6. People were always breaking pickles. I don't know what it was with pickles. But for me, it was easy. Boss said, go do this. Wasn't a problem. Because my manager was Don Moss. Don is a brother in our church in Bakersfield, California. He was the father of my friend. He was a good man, still is. He was strict, but fair. He was an excellent store manager. He turned a profit at a store nobody else could turn a profit at. He had a good sense of humor. And best of all, he loved God. He offered me a job. I didn't even have to interview. He just said, yeah, you can come work for me. It was great. He generously arranged my schedule so I could stay active in the church's youth group, stay active in school extracurricular activities, and so that I could go to church every Sunday. Never had to work on a Sunday morning. He was very good to me. And so when he said, hey, go collect all the shopping carts in the parking lot, or help this customer find what she's looking for, it wasn't hard to obey him. Now, he did schedule me sometimes to come to work at 5:30 in the morning. Can you believe that? Who would do a thing like that? But I came. And to the best of my recollection, I didn't complain to him. When your employer cares about you and you care about them in return, it's natural to obey their orders. Those orders don't even feel like orders then. Because you're working together as a team for a good purpose, and you're working for someone you love and trust. How much more natural is it for us to obey the God who loves us with everything he is, and whom we love in return with all our heart, soul, and strength? And so we keep God's commands close to our hearts, and we work hard to obey them all, and we dare not disobey the Lord, not just because we know he's a just God who holds people accountable for what they do wrong, but so much more because we genuinely love him. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O church. Love the Lord your God and keep his commands close to you on your hearts. So when Moses calls Israel to obey God in Deuteronomy 6, he's just urging his people to live out their love for God. You know, put it into practice all the way. So he offers 3 more ways that Israel should do this. Let's take a look at the first one in verse 10. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Don't forget. Moses tells the Israelites, God's going to do for you what he promised our ancestors he would do. He's going to give you the land of Canaan. And when you move into that land, you're going to have it good there. You are going to take over all the flourishing cities there, all the houses there, the vineyards and olive groves that you didn't plant, but they'll be yours. You'll have plenty to eat. When God does all this for you, don't forget him. Him who brought you out of slavery in Egypt to give you this good land. If you visit our house, I can take you through it and show you all the furnishings that have been given to us over the years. My parents bought us our TV. Jenny's parents bought her the piano. Some of you gave us our dining table and chairs. Another of you gave us a gift certificate that we used to buy our coffee table, and so on. We can take you through the whole house and show you things people have given us. Over the years, a high percentage of what we own has been given to us. And it's fitting that we remember that and appreciate it, right? And that we value the people who blessed us with these gifts. And so it is also with God. Moses taught Israel to remember all God's goodness to them. Don't forget. These blessings they were going to receive would be signs of God's love for them, which would help motivate them to obey God's commands. So it's healthy for us, like Israel, to count our many blessings, as the song says, and to remember all God's kindness to us. Remember the big things, like how God gave his one and only Son for us because he loved us so much. And remember all the thousands of little things, how God connected you with the right people at just the moment when you needed them, how God gave you peace and a sense of his presence to help you through your grief, and how God gave you strength when you didn't expect it to help you do the right thing. Remember all God's kindness to you. Don't forget. Moses then says to Israel, verse 13, "Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said." Two don'ts and two do's that Moses gives to Israel here. Don't follow other gods, and don't put the Lord your God to the test. To follow the gods of the nations that God would drive out of the promised land would be to trust in gods weaker than their own God, and less holy, and less generous, and less good. And it would make God jealous. He is a jealous God in the very best way, like loving parents who want their children to listen to them and not to the voices around them that will lead them in the wrong direction. God is jealous for his people, like a parent is jealous for their child, like a faithful husband or wife is jealous for their spouse. So don't follow other gods. Don't make God angry, but appreciate him, be true to him. And Moses warns Israel not to do what they did at Massah, which means testing. That was the name Moses gave to a place where in Exodus 17, Israel out in the desert had no water at one point, and so they quarreled with Moses, and they demanded that he give them water, and they accused him of leading them into the desert to die of thirst, and they had no trust in God that day at all. But God graciously provided water for them there. He caused it to come miraculously out of a rock. Israel's bad attitude that day tested God, pushed his limits, doubted him, made demands of him. Moses warns Israel not to do this again. Following other gods and testing God are opposites of loving God. But Moses says, do keep God's commands and do what is right and good in the Lord's sight. Again, because God is generous. He wants all to go well with his people. He wants to give them the land he promised, and he will drive out all their enemies before them. Do keep God's commands. Do what is right and good. Finally, Moses says to Israel in verse 20, "In the future, when your son asks you, 'What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you?' tell him, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness.'" Love for God calls us to celebrate what he's done for us, to share the story of all his goodness to us, to pass it along, to remember it. And so Moses tells Israel, when your son asks you why we obey all the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded us, first of all, if your son asks you about the stipulations God has decreed, you're raising him well. But when he asks, he's going to ask, why do we do what we do? Even when it's not what we wanted to do, we didn't feel like obeying, we had other things we'd rather do, we want to do X, and God has said, don't do X. Why do we follow God? When he asks, tell him the story of God's gracious generosity to us. And for Israel, that meant telling their children the story of how their God had brought Israel out of slavery in Egypt and had given them the promised land where their children would grow up blessed and prosperous. That was their story. And for us, it means telling their story, because their story is part of our story, because their God is our God. And even more, it means telling the story of Jesus and all that God has done for us through him. How by his death on the cross, he saves us from the coming judgment. How he makes us his children. How he makes us holy. How he teaches us how to live wisely. How he walks with us every day. How he gives us eternal hope. And tell your son, this is why we obey God's commands. Not just because we'll be condemned at the judgment if we don't, though we certainly respect the fact that God will judge the world. That's part of what it means to fear God, respecting his power to judge. But we obey all the more and wholeheartedly because we love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. God, who is so generous to us, who loved us first, and who has done and continues to do so much for us. Hear, O Israel, hear, O church, don't follow other gods, but remember our God and how good he's been to us, and tell the story of all he's done for us and of why we obey his commands. And with that thought, Moses goes on in the rest of the book of Deuteronomy to remind us, to remind Israel of all God's laws for their young nation, and to encourage them to follow God's commands when he gives them the promised land. And we do the same here today. Again today, as we do so often, we're sort of Moses to each other, to encourage each other to obey God's commands, to remind each other to keep them close, to remember all God's blessings. Don't let anything else be God in your life. And don't test God, and tell the story of how God loved us so much and why we obey him. And so we talk about Jesus. We talk about the presence of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. And we look forward together to the eternal promised land to which God is leading us. And we remember how things were for us before we followed Jesus, when we were in slavery, not in Egypt, but in sin. And we appreciate how God led us out of that slavery and transformed us, how he's worked this great transformation in our lives. And we celebrate all God's kindness to us today, even on the hard days. And then, after we've reminded each other, we go home and we love God. And because we love him, we obey all his commands. To fail to obey him would be to tell God we don't love him, or at least to act like we don't love him. But we do love him. And if we stumble and sin against him, we regret it, and we repent, and we seek his forgiveness, and walk with him again, and he loves us. He loved us so much that he gave us Jesus. He loves us so much that he makes us his own children. And so as Moses reminded Israel to love God and obey his commands, So I remind you, and we remind each other, love God and obey his commands. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O church. May God bless you. Let's pray together. O God, who led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and gave them their own land, gave them freedom and joy and hope and prosperity, you who were so patient with them when they failed in their faith and in their obedience, thank you for being our God too. And thank you for Jesus, our Lord, for his sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for drawing us out of slavery to sin and bringing us into the freedom that comes from obeying you. Lord, teach us to obey. Help us when we falter in that. Correct us. Help us to do better the next time. Guide us in your ways, O Lord. Because we love you, dear God. We love you with all our heart, soul, and strength. And we seek you every day. So, Father, as you have called us to be your children, and as you are a good Father to us, Lord, bless us. And train us as your children, guide us in the way we should go, and give us hearts that always seek you and that love you dearly so that we will obey your commands. As Jesus taught us, if we love him, we will obey his commands. And Lord, we remember that teaching and we remember the teaching of Moses today, and we seek you, and we just ask you to help us to obey you this week. We thank you so much for all your love and all your generosity to us. We pray for your kindness to us this week. And we look to you, dear God, as we go through this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.